This episode is sponsored by Cards Against Humanity. They asked us not to read an ad. Enjoy.
It is the Chicagoverse podcast on the Dynasty Podcast Network, featuring interviews with Chicago's premier artists in industry and creatives and culture leaders. Hosted by Haima Black. Welcome to Chicago.
Dynasty Podcast live from Dynasty HQ in Pilsen. Haima Black hosting, and Natalie is behind the board for our live tweets and streams. And I am here tonight, starting the evening, with Apache Gross. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing great, and I'm very honored to be on here, and thank you so much.
Oh, man. I love how, like, just polite and how, like, accommodating you have been in the short time that I've known you tonight. Thank you so much, man.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
So, Natalie recommended you for the podcast, and she was like, you got to hear this guy, Apache Gross. He's doing stuff. He's making moves. And you're kind of a newcomer to Chicago. How long have you been here?
Yeah, so I've been here about 3 years now. Maybe three and a half.
Like that much of a newcomer, I guess.
No, I mean, I was here for a good year and a half, and then I took some time to hop overseas for a bit, and then I came back. I was only gone for about 4 or 5 months.
Wow. So we'll get into all that. Let's start at the beginning, though. Like, how did music start for you? How did music come into your life? Like, when did you start becoming a creative like that?
Yeah, so I mean, growing up, and it's always funny because the name that I'm about to drop is hilarious. But,
sure.
The person who got me into music was named Michael Jackson.
Right.
But not, you know, Michael Jackson. It was my third grade choir teacher. He went by Gary Jackson, just so people didn't get confused. But
sure. But isn't Michael Jackson from Gary, Indiana?
I don't know. I mean, there could be coincidences. Like, could go so deep.
It sounds like Michael Jackson didn't die. I mean, hiding out.
Hopefully one day when I make it, they come up with all the conspiracy theories.
Yeah. Okay. So Michael Jackson, but not that Michael Jackson.
Yeah. I was a slightly awkward kid. When I grew up, I had all this crazy curly hair. I was really thin, had no style. My mom would send me to school with like boats on my shirt and wave. But I just remember we had to take electives, and choir was like the one good thing. I remember I had like some solo or something like that, and my teacher just took time to invest in me. And I really think that's just how I got to where I am today, is very, very grateful. And that's why I try to be very appreciative, because it's really just the people around me who've, you know, said, keep doing this, or put me on, or helped me focus, that got me to sitting on Dynasty Podcast right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing, though, because I hear this again and again. I generally start with that question, especially for someone's first time on the podcast. I'm like, how did you get started? And so many people are like, you know, my dad gave me my first guitar, or like my uncle took me to band camp, or whatever it is. And so many of the people who are sitting here now getting to talk about what they're doing, it's because somebody early on in life, whether it's a teacher or a family member or whoever, somebody actually was like, okay, great, let's take you seriously and let's help you make this happen.
Yeah, I mean, we're a collective species. I mean, everything that we do is really about connection, you know, especially when you're creating art, when you're creating memories. You know, the thing that makes it very valuable is being able to share it with somebody. And I think that's just, you know, why inherently we have the ability to take care of each other and help each other grow. It's just some people get, you know, a little distracted along the way.
Sure. Yeah, no, it's true. So when you were in this choir, was this in California?
Mm-mm. So I was born in Vallejo, California, okay. Which is Northern California. But at a young age, my mom and my father moved into my grandfather's house in mm-hmm. Arizona. So I was really raised. I say I have the Bay blood in me, but I was raised in the heat.
Yeah. So you're in Arizona. What brought you to Chicago?
Yeah, so I got into the corporate realm of things, it was a little detour in my life where I was just really trying to figure out, you know, how I could make my life valuable. And I kind of just had a knack for business. So I'd started a firm, a little marketing company, and then I got recruited by a company called Yelp. And I worked for them for about a year in Arizona, and I got lucky that I took really quick to it and had a pretty successful career, that they needed to open up their fourth domestic office. So they asked me and like 25 people if we could be the ground team and go get it started. Here in Chicago. So that's why it's just super funny, because I've always wanted to pursue music, but I tell everyone, like, when I was younger, it was just like one of those things I thought would happen, but I wasn't really doing anything about.
Right.
I just thought, like, oh, somebody's going to put me on one day. So I think it's funny, because I always wanted to move to LA or New York. I didn't even know Chicago, you know, really really existed in the form and capacity that it does. And so I got out here, and I say it's like the best accident that ever happened to me, because it wasn't necessarily my decision. It was the company. It was like, hey, do you want to do this? And I was like, yeah, let's do it. And then, you know, I discovered that this is the best place, you know, arguably in the world to be making music at right now. So
yeah, I mean,
shout out Chicago.
Very much up there. It really is. You know, it's like, you know, obviously LA and New York have what they have going on, and then like Nashville's really cementing itself as a hotbed of activity, but Chicago in so many ways is just like the epicenter of so many things right now. So when you get here and you weren't really planning in your head to be here, like, what was that initial process like when you landed in Chicago? Were you just like, oh great, this works, or was there kind of an adjustment period?
Yeah, so I mean, I think there was two contradictory things going on in my life. Was, you know, when I was still in my old vision and I had those old goals, you know, like making millions off of business, I always had this dream when I was younger of like having money and walking around in a city with a suit. So, you know, when I first showed up, right off the bat, it was an amazing feeling. You know, even though I went from 70 degrees in January to like the cold, it was like the fifth coldest day. It was like negative 24 or something like that. And the news is like, don't stop moving, you'll get frostbite. So I was very, very happy at first, but it didn't really last that long because, you know, I'm lucky now that I discovered what I should be doing. But at that time, I was just in turmoil trying to really figure out who I was. And music was always a huge part. And I had a very, very rich community in Arizona. Like, a lot of people don't know because we got, like, dumb politicians and always getting caught doing stupid shit. But there was a little pocket, you know, in downtown Phoenix where I had a house there. And we would just fill that house with people who would, you know, come cook. They'd play music. You know, we had a studio in the home, and people would just always create music. So it was a huge gift, and I didn't understand that those were healing properties to me.
Oh yeah,
that I like needed to survive.
Absolutely.
So when I was in Chicago, it was just very frustrating because I was separated from that. Everyone I knew was in corporate, great people, but just, you know,
it's a different energy.
Yeah. So I was by myself, and I was trying to create music, and I once again hadn't known yet. It wasn't really until I think like I really caught on to Chance, which I was way late on, but it was like when you were around here and you started hearing this and that, and I started to get a little bit more understanding. But it wasn't until I left, because like I quit my job, I think it was 2015, and I bought a one-way ticket to London, and I went and played some music. And when I came back to Chicago, it's like everything just hit. Like, it was like fate just hit, and I got introduced to this person, and then I just got dropped into this amazing, rich culture of just amazing artists. And I was like geeking out at first because I was like, oh, that's this person. I was hearing people's music, and it was like a dream come true. So
yeah. And when was that when you came back?
So that was, I think it was January or February of 2016. I'm horrible with the years, yeah, though, so.
But, I mean, things were in full effect then. Like, everything in Chicago was happening.
Yeah.
And, like, it was activating. So how did you start connecting with the community here in terms of realizing, like, hey, you know, like, music's the thing I'm doing, and now I need to, like you said, find that community that's going to enrich my life?
Yeah. So when I came back, you know, I went into full blown, you know, work mode, and I didn't really see a lot of people because I went back and I got back with the company I was with. I had a business plan. So I knew, all right, 1 year and then I'm going full time with this, but I didn't know how to produce music at that point either. So I was literally, as soon as I would get off work, I would go straight home, and I put my bed in my living room, and I turned my bedroom into a little studio with the gear that I have.
DIY mentality.
Yeah. So I just locked myself in this room, and I learned how to produce in Ableton, and I made this little EP, and then it was like right towards the end of that, I accidentally got introduced to Soho House.
Okay.
Shout out Soho House.
Sure.
And that was really where things popped off for me, because then I started running into people who were, you know, not only creating art, but were influencing it. You know, I was in the, you know, Soho music group, which I got a ton of friends. I remember I met this guy named Brandon Patterson and ended up in Zoe Rain's, you know, film studio.
Yeah.
I was just like, looking at all of these amazing things and surrounded by all these amazing people. And that was really kind of like what dropped me into it, being an outsider. And that's why I just love Chicago, because everyone was super warm, welcome. You know, they didn't treat me like I didn't belong there. It was they helped nurture me and got me to where I am right now.
And again, that's best case, man. Whether you're like a kid in choir early on who has, you know, Michael Jackson helping him out, or, you know, an adult and you have people welcoming you into that community. It's that acceptance and that support that is so crucial.
I mean, I just think too, it's just like what you mentioned before about just trying to be polite. I think I may have had a phase in my life where I was like a douchebag for like a couple weeks. I was trying to be tough and like, oh, I'm going to be mean and everything like that. But just the way my mom raised me and was to treat people with respect and to keep an open mind and don't judge. And I think it's just very easy. It's a lot easier to do that because people, they're just not dicks to you.
Yeah, like, people respond to... I tell that to my students, you know, like at Columbia College, I'll tell them like one of the most important things you can do isn't something that comes from your degree. It's just like be easy to work with, be good to the people you're working with, be dependable, et cetera. Like, all, you know, all these common sense things. And that's going to be half the thing. Like, yes, you need to be talented and yes, you need to have the skill set, but like, if you show up on time, if you're somebody who's considerate, if you're somebody who listens, like, again, all these things that you're just like, well, yeah, duh. But they go a long way, and not everybody embraces that or connects to it.
Yeah, and, like, life, too, will teach you lessons. Like, I remember before I left for overseas, I was, like, being humble is so extremely important, and I was making a little bit of money. I was wearing these nice suits. I was getting cocky and all this.
Sure.
And it, the humbling experience was when you go and you travel and you see the world and you realize, oh, man, it doesn't matter what you're doing in your zip code.
Right.
Because there's a whole world, you know. It matters what you're doing in your zip code if you're taking care of your people and everyone's happy.
Right.
But with that whole ego, it will decimate you.
Yeah, even other cities, like even the other side of the city. Like you go to like a different neighborhood in Chicago, people are like, oh, I haven't heard of you. You know? Yeah. So in the present, you've been making music. You have a new song, well, relatively new, called Brooklyn Girl. Talk about that, because that's the song that's on your SoundCloud. That's the song that's on your website that's really being pushed right now.
Yeah, so I started, there's two parts to this. You know, there's the business side of things, and then there's the artistry side of things.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why that song is singular is I started working with a manager, Benjamin Levine, who mm-hmm. also manages, you know, Rich Jones and Joe Walking Shoe. And just, he was one of the best gifts too. Like I said, when I got to Chicago, he's been very good at, you know, talking and developing plans. So the reason that one song is up there is just, I didn't want to create too much noise, because I'll get in the studio and just like cook beats,
sure.
make songs like crazy. But I want to make sure that like when I put something out that people have time to focus in on it. And Brooklyn Girl is just something I felt very passionate about. It was a song that I conceived when I was in New York. I was visiting a friend of mine who just went out there to chase the dream of being a model and having the fun life, and just like got eaten alive. But
it's hard, man. It's hard doing any creative pursuit, whether it's cooking or whether it's film or whether it's model. And I say this with zero experience as a model, but I do know it's just really hard to do this. It's hard to get the skill set. It's hard to maintain and develop the talent. And then to put that into the lifestyle and the business part of it is like a whole different skill. It's really difficult.
Yeah, and it gave me an energy, though. And like everywhere I go, I keep a keyboard on me. I keep my, you know, laptop on me. So I remember it was just one day I sat there and I just cooked up this little beat real quick. Mm-hmm. And then how I write 95% of my songs is I'm not very good sitting down writing with pen, as I just start to freestyle on like an experience that I have or a vision. And that came into my mind, and it's about this girl who moves to New York City. But the really deep story is getting caught up in vanity,
yeah.
which I always have a really big fear of, because I'm always the guy who will want more.
Right.
And when I write a lot of these songs, even though it's from a female perspective, there's always a little piece of myself in that. And mm-hmm. so the female is just how I told that story, but it's just a reflection of myself. So then when I made it, though, I got very, very lucky, and Soho House had just started a music group. We were like the original crew, and we were going to make the first ever Soho mixtape. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, it was really awesome. I partnered up, though, with my co-producer and a person I work with now, a close collaborator named Sal Cordova. Mm-hmm. Literally one of the smartest dudes I know as far as music's concerned. And so we really together built out, you know, a pretty robust song that had, I think it was like 75 stems, like at the end of it. It was just disgusting. But I had this just really pure vision in my head. So when we released it, I wanted to follow it up with like somewhat of a short film, because when I freestyled, I could still remember the images in my head. So shout out to another extremely close collaborator. His name is Brian Almez, Pogi Studios. They just do really amazing work. And we had started working together when I first dropped my first little EP back in the day. We flew out to Arizona with a little camcorder and just like shot some visuals. But so I hit him up and I was like, yo, you want to do the real deal? So we went all in on it. We, you know, went to Factor Models and found Selena Sophia, who is the star of the film.
So you really did this. Like, you were doing it right.
I mean, we took 2 months, Google drived out. Pre-production books, every little detail, here's this, thing. Here's that, you know, found the talent, the cast, and then we shot for 2 days here in Chicago, kind of like the inside stuff in the film studio. Then we got a road trip down to New York and flew the models and the makeup artists out there. And
Damn.
Then just like, we went in on it to yeah. just go as hard as we could. We were doing, it was so funny because we were doing such long days. We would, you know, start at 7 and then end at 1. But the energy was just so great that while I was there, you'd catch me like in the stairwells at like 3 a.m. with my headphones and my little mic, just trying to like get some of that energy out. But with the help of Sal and, you know, Brian, we just created this, what I feel like is an independent piece. It's not right. leading up to an album or anything like that. It was just, I had wanted to really, really, really try to create something that I believed was quality and had a vision in it. And it was, I just feel once again very blessed to have those people on my side to help me, you know, see it through.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it does stand alone really well, and it is a very cinematic video. For anybody who hasn't seen it, they can go to your Twitter and everything is linked there, right?
Yeah, or to a really easy hub is if you just go to apachegross.com, you can get all the social links there. You can, you know, see the video on there. You can see some live performances. It's just a place where I try to like curate so that people don't have to search too hard. Cause we got short attention spans. 100%,
man. You got to make it really, really easy. Now talk about, House Records. What is House Records?
Yeah. So, to talk about House Records, we have to talk about what the house is. So for those on the camera, this tattoo on the back of my hand is, it says House and Dots Binary. So house is that whole idea that we had chatted and talked about, man, about
right.
taking care of each other. And I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the house. And the house of my close homies, Enzo over here,
yeah.
you know, shooting the videos. One, it's a collective, it's a friendship, it's a family. It's the thing that motivates me to work harder, is because I'm not trying to just get rich, you know, and lay up somewhere. I'm trying to change the lives of the people around me. So the house is just the idea that we're all these individual pieces that come together to you know, take care of each other. So as far as it goes in the house, it's not just singular to music. You know, we have clothing designers, we have graphic designers, we have, you know, people just in fashion, we have people that are in music. So the house started off as an idea, and then it was tattooed into my skin, and then I filed for the business license for it, just so I couldn't get, you know, scooped out one day by someone who wanted.
Again, you just did the whole, you did all the steps here.
Yeah, and then you know, as it moved further, Brooklyn Girl was the first song released under the House Records,
right?
And then I just right now, this last week, I got keys to a commercial space, so. I'm setting up a studio/creative space to where, you know, the house homies can come and have a place to work. We can do boot camp beat sessions. We can host community events, because I want to give back to this community, because it's given so much to me that I want to have a place where I can facilitate, you know, events and get people introduced to each other. And because we just got it. We have to do it. We have to make shit happen.
100%. I mean, I'm right there with you. And so that was the next thing I was going to ask about is the space. Where's that located?
Yeah. So, it's at 2620 West Washington.
Okay.
So funny enough too, it's the loft that I live in. I have a loft on the top floor of this building. Like, shout out, if you can just get in the right neighborhoods at the right time, you can come up quick on a dope pad. I love my space. It's got 15-foot ceilings. It's concrete, thick walls. But there was a unit available downstairs. It was like the second floor is a parking garage. You know, there's no one around. So over this month, I'm just going to get in and start doing all the treatment on it, get the vocal booth set up. It'll be really focused on doing vocals, having it so that way you have like studio ready vocals, and then just like an inception, you know, a space where we can just get everybody together, hook up to the speakers, and just, you know, cook.
No, man, I'm right there with you. I agree. Like, I mean, I'm here in Pilsen. We've got this like, it's a pretty minimal setup right now, but we're building a lot of AV stuff in this space. But I could not have this large of a space in Lincoln Park.
No,
I could
can't.
Certainly not afford that. Mm-mm. You know, but I found this in Pilsen on Craigslist, and I was looking in like December. Man, like, and shout out Craigslist. Like,
that's where I found my spot. I just typed in loft.
Craigslist has a like, you know, Craigslist is weird because it's like, it's the only site I know of where you'd find a great new futon or get murdered.
It's
like,
true.
Like, there's, it really
offers
everything.
You could get the combo
everything.
Deal too.
Right. Yeah, you could. But, you know, I check Craigslist year round, even when I'm in the middle of a lease, like, because I just want to know, like, what's out there. And I'll make notes. I'm like, oh, man, like, when my lease is up, I want to circle back and see if that realtor has anything that's like this place. But I found this in December, and I moved in, like, in a week because
cool
I was like,
space,
I'm not going to find a better spot for my podcast than this.
You have a lot of space, too, and that's a cool part. Is like, I just grew up on the West Coast. Like, I had a house in Arizona because property there is ridiculously cheap. And I'll tell this to Chicago people. They always get nauseous when I say this, but, like, my property tax for the year was $1,200. Some people lose their mind when they hear that here. It was just like, I had space, and on the West Coast too, I can't wait because my space right now, I can't go in because I have a neighbor. Shout out to I can't name her because maybe that's illegal, but sure. She goes crazy all the time. And so I haven't been able to throw parties, and like, I'm from the West Coast. We threw house parties. We threw kickbacks. That's how we got down. We didn't go spend a ton of money at this bar. We were the bar.
Sure.
And we got down on it. So I'm really happy to get a space now to where I can start, you know, bringing that energy back.
How can people keep up with what you're doing with the music, with the new space, with house records, with all these things? Like, what's the best way for people to track that?
Yeah, I try to stay pretty active on Instagram. So Apache Gross, that's APACHE. GROSSE, and the website. But I mean, I'm very accessible. I love chatting with people. I'm on my phone so much though, because I'm always just trying to like, hey, where are you? What's my schedule? This, what's up?
Sure.
But yeah, and then as far as like live shows go too, how much time do we got left?
No, I mean, this is a podcast, so I mean, like, it's not really like structured where it's like, and we have 30 seconds left.
Okay, I didn't want to be like, oh, is this it? I'm gonna start blurting out shout out.
No, but you know, like, I always want to make sure, like, as we get towards the end, that we are mentioning like where people can find out more and stuff like that. And then you know, kind of to close it out, like, what else is on deck for you? I want to make sure we're not missing anything that's coming up for you.
Yeah, man, I'm really excited. Like I said, things just all happen at once. So I just had this, especially this last month, has just been really massive. So I'm not going to name the name yet, just so that way I can have a little bit more suspense, because I like cinematic shit. But I'm about to drop in about a month. I'm going to drop a new track that I've been working on very hard with my collaborator Sal Cordova. There's going to be a visual project for that. I just shot a visual project that's going to drop probably next month as well. I'm going to be playing here for the people here in Chicago. I'm going to be playing
Emporium.
At Emporium, the 25th, which is a Wednesday. Come out, drink. It's a free show. I'm going to be airing a whole bunch of my new songs, because I have so many songs, but I'm not putting them out. So you got to come see it live. And then I got the news today. I can't get too specific about it, but I'm going to play a 2,000 person show in Arizona in May. So
damn, dude, that's.
If you just stay tuned a little bit longer, I'm gonna have visuals and I'll drop it for my Arizona people, and we're gonna go crazy, we're gonna go wild. But I think that's really at least for these next, you know, month or two. I'm just trying to make sure my head doesn't fall off with trying to meet all these deadlines and make sure that the team's all lined up and that, you know, we execute on this.
Well, you got the business background, man. That's like, that I'm sure makes a huge difference in getting that done.
I think it really helped because like things don't seem as scary anymore, because I feel like if you just take time, take a breath, get a piece of paper, ask yourself some questions, write down some answers, and get a good feedback loop. Like I said, shout out to Ben, because I feel just very confident, you know, because he's got a proven track record as well. And when we chat, it's cool because we can butt heads. Like, he'll be like, hey, man, I think this. And I'm like, no fucking way. But other times he's like, hey, man. And I'm just like, Ben, that's such a good idea. I love you. So
he's someone who we need to get on the podcast. We've never had him on. We've had Rich Jones on before, but we've never actually had Ben on. And we have a lot of managers who have been on the podcast before.
Yeah,
so
yeah, I mean, that'd be awesome. I have to get him a plug now. Plug Ben in. Yeah, because he's a great, outside of management, too. He's a writer. He's a very smart guy. And it probably could learn a lot. He, you know, and it could be free too, right? A way to get some free advice.
There you go, man. That's the whole point of the podcast.
I had to take him out to so many dinners at the beginning before we started working together. I schmoozed him so hard. I was like, take him out to dinner, and then I just ask him a bunch of questions.
Yeah. I can't wait to check out the new space. Let me know when those parties are coming together.
Of course.
And the show is, what, the 25th, you said?
Yeah, the 25th.
April 25th. Which Emporium?
Wicker Park.
Wicker Park. So there's like 7 of them now.
Are there?
Well, there's like, I think there's at least 3, because there's Logan Square, there's Wicker Park, and now there is Fulton Market. So there's
oh,
a
they
few.
Did just open that up. Yeah. I think though Wicker Park is the only one at this point with like a performance space.
That sounds right. So.
And they got a cool stage too. I've been whipping up some visuals and all this. I'm just excited to. I love going crazy during shows though. I've just recently. I felt a lot more liberated. Like I got very lucky and I opened up for a Canadian artist by the name of Goody Grace at Sub T this last week. Mm-hmm. And it just feels like these last couple of shows, cause I'm still relatively new in this, you know, I'm not a 10-year veteran, and especially when you get on stage and there's so many things going on, expressing yourself is very interesting. And I feel like those are the moments where it feels like ecstasy, because you can just fade away and lose yourself. And, you know, sometimes I'm like, come back to reality and I'm like, oh good, they're clapping. I could just be laying on the ground passed out right now, but I guess it went well.
Just totally black out.
So yeah, I'm ready to give it all at that show and these shows coming up.
Dude, I love it. Apache Grows, people can follow you on social. Check out everything you have going on, man. Thank you so much for coming up and starting the conversation with us.
Thank you,
man. I appreciate it.
Once again, honored and very happy.
Absolutely. We'll do more.
You've been listening to a production of Dynasty Podcasts. Find more Dynasty Podcasts at dynastypodcast.com. For the Dynamic Dynasty, Dynasty Descend.